So how do you look at the flipping of a calendar page? By that, I really mean, how do you look at the passing of one year into the next? Is it a celebration or is it a relief? Sometimes it's a celebration. Other times it is a relief. It's like, thank goodness, Lord, that year is gone, past us. We keep a calendar on the refrigerator. You may as well. We write appointments and birthdays and all that kind of stuff. And you come to the end of the year, which we just have, and a new calendar takes the place of the old. So as you continue to live out 2020, are you more prone to look back or look ahead? We're going to use Genesis chapter 19 as a springboard, a directional passage to keep in mind that as we start a new year, how we ought to look, which direction we ought to look. We're going to look at some other passages that will more fully fill in the direction to look. Leading up to Genesis chapter 19, God has been at work in Abraham, Sarah, and Lot's life. Lot, Abraham's nephew. Abraham and Lot had been blessed to the point the blessing of more livestock became a source of tension between Lot and Abraham and the men that worked with them. So the two decide to separate. And Lot moved to the city of Sodom. Well, for Lot, things are not good because of the city and the sinful behaviors of the people. When God had had enough, men, angels, were sent to the city of Sodom to rescue him. Not only him, but he and his family. Early the next morning, Lot and his family leave with these clear instructions. Do not look back. Let's read this chapter, verse 23. Genesis chapter 3, we're just going to read 19. Today's going to be an adventure in a lot of ways. Genesis chapter 19, verse 23. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife did not follow what were very clear directions. So as we set into 2020, we're giving clear directions about areas of life as well. My question to you, my challenge to you is, will you follow them? The direction to look is to obey God's will for your life. Look ahead to the future. Follow God's directions. When the angels came to Sodom, where Lot and his family lived, Lot invited them in to stay with him. The men of the city sought to violate them sexually, but Lot wouldn't allow it. So at the point of breaking, the angels reach out, rescue Lot, and blind the men of the city. And Lot is told to gather his family together and leave. So Lot gathers up what family he has. His daughters were betrothed, as we would use that term, as we have used it with Mary and Joseph. They were not legally married, but they were legally married, but they weren't what we would call married. But the sons-in-law said, no, we're not going to go. We're going to stay. And so Lot gathers up his wife and his two daughters, and they take off. They all hear these clear instructions from the Lord. Do not look back. Do not look back. So what are God's clear instructions for you, for your life? In the New Testament, there are four clear, distinct statements of God's will for all of us. There are what you might call God's general wills for us. But they cover about 75% of our life, maybe 95% of our life. These four clear. There is more to them than these four, but if we ignore these four, it is questionable if we'll follow the more specific will of God. The first will of God is where Jesus said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life." God's will for you is to know him, love him, and follow him. To know him, love him, and follow him. To know him. This personal relationship that we talk about, this is what God's will is for all of us. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost, and all are lost apart from because of sin. And it's not about church membership, and I'm going to hit on this some more in just a minute. It's about this personal relationship. So the first will of God is that we would all know him. Now, just because you came to church this morning, I'm not going to presume that you know him. Have you submitted your heart and your will to him? The second will of God comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, where Paul says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." And he then gets very specific. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Well, you are to set yourself apart. That's what sanctification really means, that we are set apart for Christ. That we are set apart to live out our lives in a way that honors him. We're to live God's way according to how God intends for us to live. Later in the same letter, chapter 5, verse 18 to be exact, Paul gave another will of God for us. He said, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Not for everything, but in everything. We had to go to South Georgia first weekend in December, and doing anything that I can to avoid Atlanta, we went down through Athens and on that way. And so it was a lot of two-lane roads. And as we were going, we passed a church. And whatever it was that I was going to say that next day, I should have said, told you the story then. But we passed this church, and on the sign it says, "For everything give thanks." And I just thought, oh. If you don't know Scripture any better than that, let me tell you, there are a lot of things that happen in life that I am not thankful for. When the call comes at 2 a.m. and you know when the phone rings that something bad has happened, I'm not thankful for that. But I'm thankful in that because I have a Father who is leading me. I have a Savior who is shepherding me. And so there's a huge difference between being thankful for something and being thankful in something. And Paul told us, be thankful, give thanks to God in everything. The last will of God, Peter told the scattered church in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. "For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." By doing right. Submit in doing right. We are to obey God's will for your life. We got to go to Alaska last year. Truly a trip of a lifetime. Well, at some point we finally said, "Oh, there's another deer. Oh, there's more wildlife." The one thing that we didn't see was as many bear as we would have liked to have seen. Because the time to see bears is during the salmon run, as the fish swim upstream. Bears congregate to catch the fish as they jump over the rocks and the little bit of the falls that they have to deal with. So the fish were susceptible to being caught and eaten as they swam upstream. Let me tell you, when we swim upstream against God's will, we will be eaten by the sin. Too many try to live life going upstream against God's will for them. How are you in following these four general wills of God? Let me ask again, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Think for a moment about your salvation experience. I don't remember when it was. It was 4 or 5 years ago, one summer evening, we had this couple come in and do a concert, and there was about five of us that showed up. They were really pretty good, and that was, I remember what the wives talked about, that when she and her husband began dating, he said to her, he asked her the question, tell me about your salvation experience, and she said, I didn't have one. Well, see, that's the problem that we face in our world today, that we think that because we go sit in a church, we become a Christian. Well, I go to church. When you ask somebody, are you a Christian? And the first thing they tell you is that they go to church. I don't know about you, but my radar turns on. Because what it seems to me is that what they're saying is I've done enough to earn my way into heaven. And let me tell you, no matter how good you are, and I'm trying to find the person that I think might be good enough to be good enough, and I'm still... It's not in the mirror, so it's... There's not a one of us that's ever going to be good enough. It's all about what Christ has done. It's all about Him. It's the issues is about you submitting your will to His. We call that repentance and confessing that you have been a rebel. Do you have that relationship? What about the second will of God, your sanctification, your sexual purity? You say, oh, I'm old. Well, let me tell you, men, I think the challenge, the lure of pornography never will go away. And you ladies, I was reading something in a book that I've been reading, talking about ladies in romance novels. One author related of how one woman read novels because her relational needs are met through Christian romance novels. So to enliven herself, she satisfied her longings for affection by reading about a man romantically pursuing a woman. Then she started noticing couples enjoying romance. And one day she decided to flirt with a man at work. What about your sanctification? Now, he got real specific, Paul did. But think about this idea of sanctification, set apart for. Is your heart, is your life, is your thinking, is everything that you are, all your energy, all that you're pushing towards, is it set apart for Christ? What about the third will of God? Are you giving thanks in everything? Again, Paul did not say to give thanks for everything, but in everything. The last will of God is by doing right. Have you ever heard the saying that extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures? The problem that I've realized is that we have trouble figuring out what extraordinary times are. We think about what could happen. We think about what might transpire. And for you and me right now, can I say to you that we need to follow whatever laws our government establishes? You say, well, I don't like this. I don't like that. Didn't ask you that. And God's word didn't ask you that. We're to do right. Keep on doing right. What about your relationships? What about communities? Continue doing right. Submission is not about getting your way. It is about honoring God in and through difficult situations. So which direction will you look? The direction not to look is the past. Whether that be good or bad, do not look back. Do not look back. They were told to go to the mountains. Lot and the whole family hear God's clear instructions. Do not look back. So what does Lot's wife do? She turns around and looks. And when she disobeyed God's clear will for her, though, she received the consequence of disobedience. She was turned into a pillar of salt. What's the old saying? You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. Our kids, bless their hearts as they try to raise our grandkids who are struggling under such a heavy genetic burden. If you choose to do this, there are going to be consequences. Well, God says that to us as well. Do not look back. Remember what Paul said to the Philippians as he sat in jail. He said, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was not going to let the past, whether that be good or bad, become more important to him or distracting to him from pushing forward toward that which really matters, and that is becoming like Christ Jesus. In the way we think, the way we act, if we will think like, act like, we will become like Christ. And that's what Paul is saying, forgetting what lies behind. I don't know what you accomplished in 2019. Was it good? Did you accomplish anything? We say, well, I don't know, I survived. Well, I guess that's an accomplishment. But forgetting what lies behind, I push forward toward the mark of the high calling, of becoming like Christ Jesus. And remember how the people mentioned in Hebrews 11 lived out their faith and gained approval. They lived by faith, as if the promises had been realized when they had not. I love that passage. It says that they knew God was creating for them a place. Because here are a bunch of nomadic people. They wanted a place. And it says they welcomed it from afar, even though they never saw it. They welcomed it from afar. They never looked at the past. Looking at the past never gets us anywhere, whether that past is good or bad. Focusing on the past tends to paralyze us for today. And so keep your eye on the prize of living eternally with God. And that is the only way to achieve it, is to keep your eye on the prize. I watched a guy back up a very short trailer the other day, and he did a very good job. Having backed my share of trailers through the years, I have realized most people make the mistake of looking too much behind them at the back tires, at the back end of the trailer, and not paying enough attention to what is in front of them, the front tires. And that may be a lame illustration, so forgive me, but it does point to the truth I'm trying to make. Do not look at what is behind you. Look at what is in front of you, the future. In one of the books I'm reading, I came across this. The most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. So stop and let's tear that apart for a minute. The most important thing about you, it is not where you live. It is not how tall you are. It is not about your natural abilities. It is not about how much money you have or don't have. It is not about anything else. The most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. So consider that. And it may be the most important thing for the new year for you. When you think about God, what do you think? What do you think? Do you think that He's out to get you? That He's this strict rule keeper? There's a game over at the Fun Factory, and you've seen it other places. It goes by a variety of names, but one of the names that I knew it by was Whack-A-Mole. You know the game. Here's all this pretty big board, and all these things will pop up. What are you supposed to do? You've got this mallet in your hand. What are you supposed to do? Hit it. Some of us may think that that's the way God looks at us. I'm watching her. As soon as she steps out of line, I'm going to get her. I'm watching Him. What do you think about when you think about God? Some of us live with a past that we're less than proud of. I think we could all say that in some way. God is not holding your past against you. You are holding your past against you. God has provided a way of forgiveness. Let me ask this. What do you think about when you wake up in the middle of the night? Or what do you think about when you're having trouble going to sleep at night? I've never told this to Kim, but I'll tell her to her now, and you can just overhear me. I don't know how many times in my life I have woken up, awakened, whatever the correct term is. I think it was my freshman year of college. It had to have been. This before Kim came to OBU. I decided that I wanted to make a little money. I needed to go see this girl that lived up in Chicago anyway, and so to be able to do that, I needed some money, and so somehow or another, there was a group of guys there on campus that decided they would umpire baseball. Well, I played a little baseball in my life. And so I umpired baseball. Junior high or middle school, junior high and high school games, usually just JVs all. But I'll never forget some of the stupid things that I did umpiring baseball when I was 19 years old. And do you know that I would wake up and think about those things? You know what Satan was saying was, is you failed there, you failed then, you're going to fail now. Let me tell you, that was not of God. So when you think about God, what do you think? Some of us live our lives looking back because of all the baggage that we're carrying. Let go of it. Let Him have it. So what do you think about? Do you think about what God can and is intending to do with you and for you? In Christ, we are a new creature. All things are new. Do you think, when you think about God, that He is kind and good and wants to bless you and use you for His glory? He does. As we look at 2020, we're going to come together tonight to begin praying towards what God is going to do in us and through us in 2020. Because God wants to use us for His glory. And if He will do things for His glory, guess what? It's going to be for our good. So be here tonight so that we can begin praying together for God to use us for His glory. We need to continually pray for God to move in people's hearts and lives, in our circles of influence, so that we get to watch Him transform them. Do you think He is an all-wise creator that knows best how to live life? He is, He does, He wants the best for you. So live in obedience to what He says. It's a new year. We have new opportunities. So which direction will you look? keep on obeying God's will for your life. I pray the four general wills of God are being followed in your life. Whatever happens today, keep looking forward. Let the past be past and let the past be gone. Because God is a transformer, a redeemer, a giver of new life. So keep looking forward.